meal time, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Oh, hello, welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. The show is overtime. We are clocking in today at 6:02 on this President's Day edition of the show here to kick off the week. I'm your host, Tanner Carson, sipping his coffee right now. To my left is DB Daniel Bratman. That always smells really good. What type of coffee do we have here anyway?
Kirkland.
Ooh. We get that right from Costco then. Okay, interesting. Smells good. Good smelling stuff right there. But yeah, we got Daniel Bratman to my left. No Cole McCormick tonight. He had had something come up. He had to miss. He's doing well, though. It's just something outside of his control. So he will not be here tonight. He'll be back tomorrow. But in the meantime, sticking around, doing some wink-wink overtime, is Rick Butler.
I cracked that joke last week on the show. I don't know how we haven't thought of it before. It's a great play on words there.
I thought of it again. I thought of it again. It's so good. We are a show that appreciates a good pun. We appreciate a good pun.
Absolutely.
And we use them very regularly. And, God, I was going to have some cute segue. There's no cute segue. Tennessee got their ass kicked Saturday night, boys. And it sucked. It was hard to watch. It's very hard to watch. I had the thought in the back of my mind that, you know what, the one thing we haven't been talking about is, what if one team just blows the other out? Then I thought to myself, nah, that can't happen. Both these teams are really good. I mean, who cares if it's up and rough, though? I mean, we saw LSU win a close game up there. Certainly, even if Tennessee doesn't win, I would think that, at worst, maybe the worst margin of defeat. I was thinking my mom was 8-9 points, maybe. I was wrong. I was very wrong. Tennessee comes out Saturday night, primetime matchup, Rupp Arena against then number 5 Kentucky. And you got the smacketh down laid upon you. Tennessee checked into the SmackDown Hotel.
The penthouse suite, if you will.
With a nice view of the hills and the coal mines all across the Commonwealth of Kentucky. All across the Bluegrass State. And, man, they took it to you. 86-69. Not nice. Not nice. And it really wasn't as close as that 17-point deficit. Really was not as close as that. Felt a lot worse. Felt at points that, man, even in the first half of that one, that you were down 5-6, but like just the way that game was going and the way each possession went, you kind of had the mentality of, man, it feels like we're down 20-plus. And then it got to the point in the second half, well, you did get down 20-plus. It's too much to recover from. First regulation loss of the season for the Vols. First loss period since the day after Thanksgiving 2018. We had forgotten what it was like to lose. And what a way to remember the feeling. It wasn't good. It was not good. And now here we are. New AP poll comes out today. Tennessee, after 4 weeks at number 1, drops. And maybe some people think, you might have dropped a little too far, possibly. We can talk about more of that later. But you dropped a 5 today from 1. And here we go. You're not invincible. You got your first loss in conference play. So much stuff to unravel here. But first and foremost, I mean, either one of you can go first here. Just initial reaction to the game. And I guess, how crushing was it for you? Because I know it sucked from an optics standpoint. It sucked from a whole national standpoint. As far as how your team is perceived right now in mid-February. Which, of course, it's not what matters. It doesn't matter how well you do in mid-February. All that matters is what happens in March. Still yet, though, it stung. stung over the weekend, but I'm in a position right now where I'm ready to talk about it, get out of my system, and then it's got to be like a next game up mentality.
It didn't take me long after the game to realize it wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, a loss to number 5 Kentucky certainly looks better than a loss to number 19 LSU. And that was one way that I was thinking about it. I mean, in all honesty, the number 1 ranking was awesome. It was a cool thing to have. It was an awesome pride booster. But at the end of the day, what does it really matter? Because the only thing that matters is that ranking after the tournament.
Yeah.
That was a little of my 2 cents on the whole.
Yeah.
But I was pretty mad during the game. I'm not going to lie. I was went back home to Nashville. Got to watch it with my dad. Boy, there was not blaming the officials, but there were some pretty blatant, obvious calls that were no calls, and but I mean, you know, Vols were missing shots, got murdered on the rebounding aspect of the game. I just couldn't believe it. It's like they didn't want to go to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It just blew my mind. But yeah, that's my little 2 cents. Not the end of the world.
No,
it's not like it's the March Madness tournament yet.
No,
and we needed to lose. Yeah. This team needed to realize that they are not invincible.
No,
that they can be beaten. And in my opinion, who's a better team to lose to than number 5 Kentucky?
Lost to Duke.
Yeah, okay. I meant this SEC play.
No, for sure. I mean, it's better you drop this one than, hey, you slept
a
month ago and lost to Alabama.
Or that, yeah.
Or you lost to Vanderbilt. I mean, it still sucks getting blown out from the whole optics standpoint. And, yeah, there was a bunch of calls we were frustrated with.
I mean, the game was almost a setup. Prime time. It was a night game. It was away at Rupp. I mean, I woke up Saturday morning with just a knot in my stomach. I wasn't confident at all.
See, I was calm just because I knew that, you know what, either way, like you said, you lose, it's not the end of your season. No. You're still 23-2. You still are on top of the SEC standings, too. It doesn't mean anything. On the flip side, too, if you won, well, that doesn't mean you win the conference either. You still have to go to Baton Rouge next Saturday. And you saw what happened last year when you swept them in the regular season. Hey, they told me the regular season doesn't matter. That's why I didn't want to see too much bragging from Kentucky fans, okay? Because, we meet again in 2 weeks. This isn't like football where you get 365 days worth of bragging rights. We're meeting one more time, and hell, you may very well meet for 2 more times after this, too.
Yeah.
So nothing's over when it comes to that. And, you know, the other reason I don't want to see too much bragging is when it was Tennessee sweeping Kentucky last year. It was Tennessee winning at Rupp. It was Tennessee blowing them out in the second half when they came down to Knoxville. I was told the regular season doesn't matter because they had the little trump card of, we beat you in the SEC tournament game.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear too much of it, though. But
the regular season really doesn't matter, neither do the rankings. Now, do I believe that a Kentucky team with 4 losses should be in the top 5? Not necessarily. But that's not my job to do the rankings.
No, and about any calls real quick, I mean, we knew going up there that, frustrating calls were going to happen. It's the referees, man, but this game got to the point where this is beyond blaming the refs for any type of thing. That's the last thing that should be talked about here when it came to what was the reasons that Tennessee lost by 17 points.
The only real issue, the only real call that I had a problem with on Saturday was the foul called on Kyle Alexander when he was being hooked by
Washington Travis.
Reed Travis. Thank you. Monday name was blanking. When he got hooked by Reed Travis down in the paint, and they called it on Kyle, and that's the only one I had the biggest issue with. I just could not believe it.
I will say, overall, at least early on, they were letting both teams play.
Yes, they were.
They were letting both teams be physical as hell, and
hell, Grant was on his back, it seemed, for 85% of the game.
But the physicality, going back to that being the tone setter, being a physical game out of the get-go, the tone being set by Kentucky, you did not answer that call. Mm-mm. You did not answer that call if you were Tennessee, and that's what really cost you overall. Rick, I want to go to you. I know the drive doesn't let you talk, so we're going to let you talk.
We value your opinion here.
What? Oh, greatly appreciated.
Give me your initial thoughts here. I mean, it's we're not doing an immediate post-game show. This isn't voluntary reaction, so post-game feelings 48 hours removed versus right after the final buzzer sounded are a lot different. It's different when you have time to really, like, okay, reflect on everything, look forward, get some stuff out of your system, take a few deep breaths. Where are you 2 days out from this?
Well, I think I'm fine right now. You know, I think it's when the smoke clears and when the dust settles, I think it's fine. You know, as Daniel was saying, one of the good things is that we got our run as number one, and it was a hell of a lot of fun, right? I know for me, especially as a student, like that was incredible. That was incredible to see, and that's something that Tennessee has not had in a very long time. And now you get to proceed with the rest of your season, kind of with a little bit of that weight off your shoulders, right? I like Tennessee in the, you know, in the dog mentality to get back to where they were, right? Because it was kind of tough at times being number one. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You got every team's best game by a long shot. However, that game did raise some questions to me, right? And I don't think this will happen, but I think that there's fair questions to answer. If you're another team playing Tennessee, I'm going to play as physical as possible, right? I'm going to try to bully you until, you know, we see what you're made of.
Yeah.
And that kind of worries me. Not that I fully expect Tennessee to willingly get bullied, right, or to kind of...
We're the team that's done the bullying.
Absolutely.
For a while. Kentucky is not the first team in 25 games to try to play physical against us. It's been multiple teams so far. The only difference here is it's in an environment like that in Rupp. That's going to help them from a mentality standpoint, them
sure.
being Kentucky. And two, I mean, their players are just better. Their players are just better.
Very good players.
I mean, not better than, you know, ours top to bottom, but I mean better than top of some other teams that try to make it a physical, ugly game. South Carolina, Missouri, Florida, when you went down to Gainesville to an extent.
Yeah.
Kentucky's just got better players than them.
Yeah. So. I do think that there are questions. Are we going to get better at rebounding because we have to? Are we going to get better at I mean, for man, we couldn't hit a three-pointer, it felt like. Grant came down there and hit our first two. I would not have expected that at all.
Your first three-pointers that were made, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that was the only threes made in the entire first half. Two were from Grant, one was from Epons.
Correct.
Did not expect that.
No.
Not expect something like that. And, God, to Grant's credit, statistically played a fantastic game. The problem is he only got off four shots because Kentucky did a good job of denying him looks. He hit three or four, though. Two were from deep, 16 points, 8 rebounds. Got a couple of steals and a couple of assists. He had a great game, but...
It just seemed like his presence was absent, even though I just heard the stats you read out. I just didn't get the feel that he had the ball a lot.
No, they were doing a good job at denying him,
yeah.
And you know what also was the big reason they were able to do that is the fact that Rick already brought the point. Not good hitting threes. Lamonte Turner, Jordan Bowden. It's going to make you disgusted here. Turner and Bowden, three-point attempts, 0-for-11 combined.
Yeah, that was bad.
Field goal attempts combined, 3-of-18,
yeah,
period.
Nice.
The rebounding was disgusting.
Where's
obviously,
Kyle been? Where's
foul
he
trouble.
Been
foul
the past
yeah.
couple weeks?
It's Monday.
It's
Monday evening, and the man is still in foul trouble. It's 6:15.
We saw Lyle Alexander.
He has been living in.
We did
foul
not
trouble.
See Kyle. We
well,
saw.
Will
Lyle.
We fall out with like 8 minutes left in the game?
Yeah, there's a lot of time left. There's a lot.
You can't
time
do that left. In the tournament.
No, you can't. No, you saw how bad last year in the tournament. You need him. Period.
Yeah.
I think. And obviously, we're going to go ahead and take a break to get some more time to discuss, like, actually what went into why this was so bad and what you need to improve upon. I knew the rebounding was going to be bad. I did not expect us to even 50-50 total rebounds with them. I said that was fine. I remember talking to the Vol Rumor Mill at halftime. We were out there at Hops and Hollers. It's halftime. And you were losing a rebounding battle by 8 at that point. Or 6. Yeah, it was 6. And I said, all you need to do is get within around 3. But the other thing, too, is you got to hit these shots. you were getting good looks too. They just weren't falling in. It's really your inability to hit those shots that made it so bad. Now, if Lamonte and Bowden hit some threes that we've been used to them making all season, it's a lot closer of a margin. I don't know that wins you the game, though, but we're not talking blowout. That happens.
I saw a funny tweet. It was something, and I'm paraphrasing, it was something along the lines of, with the amount of bricks, Lamonte and Bowden are taking, Lyle Jones could build himself a house or something like that. It was something pretty funny, I thought.
Everything always goes back to Butch. Damn it. That means we need to take a break here. 865-546-8200. It's a group therapy session here on Overtime, post-Kentucky. We're going to let it all out. We're going to let all the anger that we feel inside of us out. And then by the time this is over, we're going to be refreshed. We're detoxing ourselves is what we're doing. Let's do a little detox, move on to kick Vanderbilt's ass tomorrow. But we're going to talk a lot more about what happened over the weekend as this rest of hour number one rolls on here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Once again, 865-546-8200. Call us, give us your thoughts on the damn debacle up in Rupp. You're listening to Overtime, and we will be right back. Back here on Overtime, 865-546-8200, Monday group therapy session. First one we've had to do in a while. This is the first group therapy session we've done for basketball.
Because we haven't had to.
No, and I mean, didn't do one for Kentucky. But
we were here every Monday after football season. It felt like having a group therapy session.
I meant we didn't have to do one after Kansas, the only other loss, just because...
Thanksgiving
and... More pressing matter was you lost to Vanderbilt and lost your bowl eligibility that weekend.
I was at that game.
That's how long it's been since we've had to talk about the basketball team losing. And even back then when you lost to Kansas, I remember the talk being, we're not worried. Not worried. It's early. It's early November. Not worried. And I'm still not worried about this team. There's obviously facets of the game and facets of this team that you got to worry about, man. I mean, pick your poison. Coming into the game, even though it didn't hurt you as bad, just because, well, quite frankly, they didn't need to hurt you that bad with this 3-point defense. And then, of course, something that did hurt you bad was your inability to limit the opposition to getting offensive rebounds and just rebounding.
Way too many offensive rebounds given up. And so bad.
And now, you're kind of worried. Maybe it's mentality, physicality type of thing that you may have to worry about. I'm not sure. But the point being, not 10-game winning streak, and I enjoyed every minute of it while it lasted. I did not take that for granted. But not 10-game winning streak. A lot of things we talked about that, hey, we're getting away with this, we're getting away with yada, 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 but we didn't harp on it too bad because you're still winning a lot of games by double digits. Rick Barnes today at his Monday press conference, he was asked about fixing some of the lapses in the team's overall play and some of the criticisms that we gave them during the win streak that, hey, they were getting away with because you were still winning. Let's listen to what Barnes had to say today.
I mean, I felt like it had been building, and we kept using the word, hey, it's going to bite us if you guys don't understand the point. And you know what? And we did. We got bitten really, really hard. But we've talked about it for at least 2 weeks about rebounding, about playing defense, about playing hard, about practicing the way we need to with the intensity that we needed to. And like I said yesterday, that when we came in and we watched it and said, hey, now this is who we are. If it is, we're not going to win any more games. Now, are we going to go back to work and have the intensity and the toughness and the mentality that we want to be the team that we set out at the beginning of the year to be?
Yeah, it's I assume during practice, yesterday and today, there is a lot of come to Jesus meetings, maybe. I would assume that the Deacon hosted. And I assume that also, we had mentioned it earlier, and we talked about it a little bit last week, that maybe sometimes a loss isn't the worst thing, especially in its college basketball, and it's a 30-plus game season. And, hey, going to take some whippings. It may be better for you in the long run, especially if it's still with a lot of time left. Now, you don't want to take a whipping when it's win or go home. It's the last time you want to take a whipping. But now, in this position, we hate it. I didn't want it to be like that, but you can kind of afford it, though. Maybe it just takes a good kick in the ass to wake you up.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry.
I was waiting for somebody to elaborate.
I was looking for that other pair of headphones. It was because I left mine in the lobby.
Sad.
Well, to go on your point, I think you're right. There are a lot of things that I think that. Let me start by saying this. I think Tennessee got a lot of flack throughout this kind of win streak, throughout the 19 games that we won, about, well, they haven't really played anybody. And I don't really think that's true, because I do think that if you're a Division I basketball school, most of the team we played have been quality competition, right? They haven't all been terrible teams that you play at the beginning of the year. However, you're right. Like, they are games that we have gotten away with certain things. Maybe we don't have to be the best rebounders, right? Maybe we don't have to deal with the level of physicality that Kentucky brought us. And so hopefully that's kind of what Rick Barnes told the team today, is that, hey, this is the kind of caliber that we are going to see for the rest of this 2019 season. This is what we have to match up to. This is what our standards have to be. And this is what we got to be prepared for day in and day out.
What he better get them to understand is that you got to drop the mentality of what we saw. I think at a lot of points, and I'm pointing to specifically at South Carolina, at Texas A&M, both those teams made it exactly 60-58 with a little over, or just about, is around the under 12 TV timeout. And I was getting a little nervous watching some of that, because against A&M, you're getting up a lot of threes. South Carolina was coming out physical again in the second half. And then what have we talked about? That proverbial switch that this team flips, that, okay, now it's time to put our foot down your throat. We know we're better, and they know that in the back of their mind, man. You got to think they know that in the back of their mind when they're playing lesser competition, and they can afford the competition to hang around a little bit just because they know they're better at the end. They got to drop the mentality. They got to drop that, because it can catch up to them when they're playing somebody that's not going to play around with that type of mentality. Just going to have to drop it, man. 865-546-8200. Let's go over to the fan-run phone lines. I'm going to grab a call from Buckeye Guy. Buckeye Guy, welcome in, man.
Hey, guys. All great points so far that you are making. I think you need to take this game. Well, as far as you all say, Kentucky came out with the physicality, and of course it wasn't matched by Tennessee. And then once the second half started, it obviously was not matched there. Going off that, they got down, 24-26 points. It looked like it was going to be anywhere from 35 to a 40-point blowout. And you say, well, no, that's not going to happen. Well, you know what? People didn't think that was going to happen to Kentucky against Duke first game of the year. Mm-hmm. I think Tennessee did a great job of coming back and making it, bringing it back to a 10-point, 12-point game, because they're in one of the most hostile environments in all of the country. And I give them credit there. Now, that is where I give them credit in the game. Now, if you take this and look at two big things here, in my opinion, obviously, I played basketball through college, and I've been around it my whole entire life. Take this off two big things. There is potentially one team in the country that could have went into Rupp Arena Saturday night and beat Kentucky, and that is potentially Duke. And that's not saying that they would. That is saying that they have the best shot. Besides that, I don't think there's a chance that anybody else could. Kentucky was coming off a loss that they had Tuesday, Wednesday night, whenever that game was, Tuesday night, and they just were not going to get beat. It's simple as that. Cal Perry's never been beat two times in a row at Rupp Arena. He wasn't going to do it this time. So take that for one. Two, Tennessee, what they were doing through the season, the game they played Saturday night, they would have been beat at Florida if they played that game at Florida. Florida would have beat them. Tennessee needed this loss. It's plain and simple. They have one loss. You look back at previous teams, some of the best teams that's ever played. UNLV had an undefeated season and got beat in the championship game. Tennessee's cannot sustain that, I don't think, through the tournament with just one loss and squeaking by these teams that they needed to get to squeak by. They're a much superior team than these teams are. And so moving forward, I think having a second loss is a blessing in disguise for the team. You see them getting barely by these weak teams. South Carolina, okay, they're not extremely weak, but in my opinion, Florida's weak. Obviously, Vanderbilt's weak, and they barely squeaked by them. This second loss, I think it's going to open up their minds a little bit. And as you all were saying, hey, we're going to get everybody's best hit, but you have to think our best hit, if we play our best game, we're top three, fourth team in the country.
Yeah, Buckeye guy, the thing about a loss being good for you is, and this is something I was thinking about earlier today, that's what you want to think as a fan of the team that you just went through something that Tennessee did Saturday night, is that, okay, let's hope this is good for them. Let's hope it wakes them up a little bit and you can come out and be the team that we all know that this team can be when they reach their full potential. Most teams do that. Sometimes, though, you do not want to fall into this mindset of what happens to some teams after they get whooped like that is they just come out the next game sluggish, and it's a trend that continues for the next couple of games. And all of a sudden, then you have a big, big reason to be worried, because I'm looking at the calendar right now. March is very soon. So you have to make sure you fall into the better mindset.
Yeah, and I'll take this, and I'll let y'all go from that. Obviously, I'm not a Tennessee basketball fan. I mean, look at my name when I call in. But I honestly do love watching Tennessee basketball. They're a fun team to watch. So my suggestion is for all these Tennessee fans, don't get upset over this game. It's one game that, quite frankly, doesn't really mean much. You know, the reason I say that is because Tennessee is still in control of their own destiny. They will get a number one seed if they win. If they win the SEC tournament, they will get a number one seed. It's plain and simple. So don't get all upset over this game right here. I mean, the tournament, I mean, it's still here in a month and a half. I mean, you're fine. Don't get upset over this. It's one loss. In my opinion, it was needed for you all to exceed. I think we'll see tomorrow once they play Vanderbilt exactly how they come out, and I think they'll come out pretty strong. Thanks, guys.
I'd hope so. Appreciate the phone call, Buckeye guy. Yeah, that's something I definitely want to get y'all's opinion on. What type of team are we going to see tomorrow? Are we going to see – now, obviously, I'm not expecting an exact replica of the 46-point Georgia beatdown. But are we going to see a team that's going to be on that level, or are we going to be a team that's kind of hung over from taking a loss like that?
I can't imagine the team's going to be hung over, personally. Now, I don't know if I'm as much in the camp as you're going to see the angriest Tennessee team ever, and they're just going to absolutely wipe the floor with them. I think we'll have a good definitive win. I think this win will look very similar to how we beat most teams before Kentucky. A good 12-point win, a 15-point win.
Vegas is expecting a pretty wide margin victory. 19.
I'm going to have to agree with Rick. I think we come out a-blazing. I think we smoke them.
Guns a-blazing. Blazing saddles.
Shooting from like 45 feet.
Rooting, tooting, cowboy shooting. Woo!
No, but I think they smoke them tomorrow night.
God, I hope. Vanderbilt's the only winless team in the SEC right now.
Really? Interesting.
I'm trying to remember the historical precedent. It's been forever since a team has finished an entire season winless in SEC play. Ooh, got a bad Vanderbilt team coming in here tomorrow. Yeah. You do not need them to think they can hang around like they did in Nashville.
It's also funny that they have probably a top 10 NBA pick on their roster. Yeah.
Just so happened to shred his knee.
Yeah.
Sucks for him.
Woo!
Bad luck, man. I absolutely hate it for Pep Sweet, Bryce Drew. Let's stuff him into a locker tomorrow night. Pretty, please. Stuff him. 865-546-8200. That's our number if you want to join the program like Buckeye Guy. See, we got fans of other teams joining the group therapy, saying, you know what, it's going to be okay. Maybe Buckeye Guy's wanting to jump on the bandwagon a little bit. I don't know if Chris Holtman's going to get that team to the tournament this year. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just checked Ohio State's record like during his call because I was curious. They're 6-8 in the Big Ten.
Is that bad?
That's not bad. Good. They do have a loss to Rutgers. So it's pretty damn bad. It's pretty damn bad. But if you want to join the program like he just did, you just give us a call one more time, 865-546-8200. Another short break. Be back in a jiffy. Oh, peanut butter and jelly had some not-so-easy criticisms of themselves after the game. That's what I like to see, though. And I'm not surprised. They're brutally honest with themselves here. Want to hear what the team leaders had to say? First and foremost, let's start with Grant Williams. He said the Vols were, quote, soft. Quote, they out-physicaled us tonight, talking about Kentucky. That's not our identity. We have always been the tougher team. For that to happen, it shows we were phonies tonight. Ooh. Oh, you're a big fat phony.
Big fat phony.
That was such a funny Family Guy episode.
I know. That's what I thought about.
It's a phony.
I'm not calling our team that. But your Grant's already calling themselves that, though. Here's what Admiral had to say. Honestly, they just kicked our butt.
Nice.
That is what it is. He did say but. He did not say ass. It's not substituted. Grant keeps it. Admiral keeps it G-rated.
Family friendly.
Admiral right. Schofield. That is what it is. We weren't as physical. You know what? It's part of the game. Well, I'm already expecting Tennessee to not look. Even if you lose multiple more games before the season is over, I do not expect Tennessee from a physicality standpoint to look that outmatched again. That includes when you play Kentucky again in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You're going to see an entirely different mindset when they come here in 2 weeks. I'm not calling a win already, but you're not going to get that embarrassed.
No.
When it comes to just, did you physically look like you belong on this court? Do you look like you belong on this court when you're hustling for loose balls, when it comes to getting positioned for rebounds? Do not expect this team to look that outclassed again. But moving on to today's AP Top 25, we all knew it was coming. Say goodbye to number one. But, oh, man, did we have to tumble this bad, though?
It did feel extreme, I'll tell you that.
I didn't expect no worse than five, and, of course, Tennessee is at five right now. Updated AP Top 25, of course, the Dukies rise to number one. Durham, Davy Hudson's Blue Devils, 58 votes.
Probably rightfully so.
Yeah, 58 first
place
votes.
Very good basketball
Shockingly
team.
Here, I'm shocked by this, Gonzaga at two with six first place votes. Yes, six people think Gonzaga. I know they did beat Duke, I understand that. But recently, though, how can you put Gonzaga at number one? Like, as far as, like, recent play goes.
Man, and for all the crap that Tennessee has gotten for not playing ranked teams,
Do you have their schedule by chance? Because I know. I took a quick glance. They played us out in Phoenix, and then they went to Chapel Hill and got dominated by North Carolina.
Yeah.
They haven't lost a game since then. Well, because you talk about Tennessee not playing anybody. Man, they're going through the West Coast Conference schedule.
Right, here you go.
These teams.
So right after Tennessee beat Gonzaga 76-73 on December 9th, the immediate next week, they lost by 13 to UNC.
It wasn't even that close.
And then I'm going to rattle off their games following. Texas Arlington, Denver, North Alabama, CSUB. Don't even know what that acronym is. CSUB.
Cal State something?
Yes, Bakersfield Roadrunners.
Oh, Bakersfield, yeah. Oh.
Then they played Santa Clara, Pacific. Wow, Pacific.
Yeah, that's people in their conference, man. This isn't the West Coast Conference right. Of a few years ago where, okay, Gonzaga was challenged by an equally good St. Mary's team right behind them that was also ranked. This is just a garbage conference, man.
Yeah, so following Pacific, they played San Francisco. No, not the 49ers. They played not LMU, the which is Loyola Marymount.
Yeah, not Lincoln Memorial, the other LMU.
Then they played Portland, Santa Clara,
not the Blazers.
Brigham Young, San Diego, San Francisco, again, St. Mary's, LMU, again, San Diego, and then they have riveting game against Pepperdine, BYU, Pacific, and Gonzaga, and St. Mary's to end out their season.
And we know Gonzaga's a great team anyway, so, man, they're not losing until the tournament.
No.
They are not losing until the tournament. That was the same type of criticism that was on them, that's on them anytime they get a high seed. Remember that Gonzaga team that was ranked number one a few years ago, the Kelly Olynyk team?
Yeah.
Never played anybody. So that was a big criticism of them. They came close to losing to a one seed, too. That's always been a criticism of Gonzaga. But let's go behind the Zags. So every team basically took one spot up jump. So that means Virginia's at three, and then Kentucky leapfrogs Tennessee for number four. I'm going to go ahead and be on record. I'm not bothered by the poll because I know this doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter. It's just like we were excited to be number one just because this isn't something we were used to. But after a couple of weeks, it's like, okay, it's whatever. It doesn't matter. We all know when it really matters to be number one. That being said, I think the voters completely forgot Kentucky lost a game to a much lower ranked team earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Kentucky probably should have just stayed at five.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I also see where, okay, they also had it's recency bias. They had a blowout win over number one primetime, yada, yada. So let's leapfrog Tennessee. Are y'all really bothered by this? Because I'm really not, but it's I think it should have been a four-spot drop, though. You didn't lose to a team that was barely in the top 25. You did lose to a top five team.
Exactly. Yeah.
When I'm wearing my orange checkerboard overalls with my orange sunglasses on, I'm pretty bothered by it. It kind of sucks to drop all the way from one to five.
You're also five in the coaches poll, too. Top five of coaches in AP, exactly the same.
So when I'm looking at it from just a strictly Tennessee fan point of view, I'm not really thrilled about it. Now, granted, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
No.
I'm not going to get any crazy Twitter debates over it. But I'm not a little happy about it. Granted, from just a normal, as unbiased as I can point of view, it's fine. Who cares that much? I don't really think there's a lot of things separating number one and number five at this point. And I think this cool thing that I found earlier. So you just went through the top five, right? Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee.
You did send this.
Here's something interesting. Oh, am I stealing your thunder?
No, run through it.
Okay. Duke lost to Gonzaga. Gonzaga lost to Tennessee. Virginia lost to Duke twice. Kentucky lost to Duke. And Tennessee lost to Kentucky. The top five teams are just shredding each other, right? Like, everybody in the top five has a loss to somebody else in the top five.
That's pretty funny.
So to me, it's like, all right, well, we stand to be in pretty good company.
Yeah.
Right? Up there in the top five. I do think that you're probably going to get a loss from someone else. I got to imagine it comes to maybe Virginia or Kentucky. As we just said, that's not going to happen to Gonzaga. Duke looks very, very good. But it's all right. It's fine company to be with. Yeah, it sucks that we dropped to five, but we're still one of the top three to five best teams in the country. There's no doubt about it.
That's why people are just they're just being facetious when they're just trying to clown on Tennessee after the loss on Saturday, talking about, oh yeah, you guys are a fraud, you guys are overrated. I mean, no, not really. Still pretty good team.
Yeah.
Still projected to be a number one seed according to Jerry Palm.
Our guy Palm.
He's moved you from the South region to the Midwest region.
It's fine.
That's fine by me. You've never been a number one seed either. I don't care. We had to play in damn Timbuktu.
Well, let's not go to that far, my friend.
It's hypothetical.
I don't want to go to Timbuktu.
It's hypothetical because you do not play tournament games in Timbuktu.
I'd rather be the two seed in the South than venture to Timbuktu.
Fair point. I still have to
I see your point, though. Let's go get that number one.
Let's go do it. Season's not over, damn it. And here's the thing. You take care of Vanderbilt like you should. Cover that spread tomorrow. And let's say you go down to another hostile environment. Granted, not as hostile as Rupp. We go down to Baton Rouge. Your new number 13 team in the land, LSU. You get a win over them. All of a sudden, all the panic in the streets. The sky is falling because you lost to number 5 Kentucky at Rupp Arena. A place where that team's lost 9 games total under John Calipari. All that sky's falling stuff stops. Then we're right back to puffing our chest out a little bit. Just for a little bit. because you do have a tough, tough schedule up ahead, though. But we knew it was coming, though. Got to get your minds right.
Had to lose eventually.
It may be, and like we talked about, maybe getting your ass kicked was good for getting your mind right. Maybe. We shall see, though. Hit another break here before we wrap up hour number one on the other side. 865-546-8200 is our number. Going to finish hour number one of overtime when we come back. Rick, I know you like this one.
The Velveteen Dream.
Are you excited for your 2 minutes to talk wrestling in the next hour?
I'm very excited.
It was a good one.
I have no reason to be as excited as I am right now.
It was really good last night.
At least if you had told me 2 days ago that I wouldn't be as excited, I'd believe it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, golly. What are you talking about? Wait and find out.
You will find out. You will find out for sure.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold says so.
Do you know who he's talking about there, of course?
Stone Cold Steve Austin,
okay,
yes.
I was making sure. You kind of gave him like a look.
Texas Rattlesnake.
He has the thing with the beer in the middle finger.
Oh, that's exactly right.
Oh! I forgot your Periscope for a second. Oh,
no, you're fine. I think Bear's done it plenty of times.
Oh, the good people of Periscope just saw a middle finger. How will they ever recover? How they're going to recover. I'm trying to see where is updated net rankings. Ah, here we go. So we all know about the net rankings, right? The new type of ranking system that the NCAA is using for tournament seeding. That's kind of it's trying to like replace the RPI, but it's kind of like the fake RPI.
Yeah.
Tennessee was at 4 going into the Kentucky game. Also, only drops you to 6. But if you're going by net, that means you'd be a 2 seed. But still, you're still projected to be a 1 seed, according to Jerry Palm, trying to get his latest bracketology here. Rick, did you all do an update of Lenardi's during the drive?
No.
Lenardi's hasn't dropped yet, correct?
That's right. That is right.
Why hasn't his dropped yet? Does it drop tonight?
I don't know. But good I do question. Know that Bear said he wanted to street fight him. I don't.
Whoa!
What has he got against Lenardi?
That is true.
I don't know. Here's Jerry Palm's. Let's go by Jerry Palm here. I'm taking Jerry Palm over Lenardi just for tonight, just because he still has your Tennessee Volunteers as a 1 seed. But as we said last segment, he has moved you from number one in the South, which is Louisville, to number one in the Midwest, Kansas City. Not that far away from Louisville, all things considered. But you're a 1 seed. Has you matched up with Sam Houston and... Yeah, take down Sam Houston. You'd be playing the winner of 8-9 TCU versus Seton Hall. I'm a big fan of having to play either one of those teams. Even though Seton Hall did beat Kentucky earlier in the year. Kind of mediocre.
Yeah.
Same goes for TCU, even though they did beat Florida. He has you playing those games up in Columbus. So still not bad distance-wise if you want to take travel time into consideration right there. He has replaced you as the number one seed in the South with the Wahoos, the Virginia Cavaliers. They got a big game coming up just about 5 minutes, by the way. They're going to Blacksburg to take on number 20, Vautech. So that should be one to keep an eye on. Maybe things change up if they drop
need
a game.
Them to, yeah, need them to lose, right?
Oh, yeah. So what do we think about a number one seed in the Midwest? Let's just say this is the bracket. What are we thinking immediately?
Awesome, we're a 1 seed?
Yeah, I don't...
I mean, we're
Tennessee fans will travel to...
Sam Houston?
No, I mean...
What are you asking?
I'm also confused.
I said, first of all, what do you think, number one in the Midwest, and then I said, any qualms about maybe TC or Seton Hall?
No.
Or you like that a lot?
I'm a big fan of that.
Sure.
It seems like, I don't want to say an easy, but it seems like a simple enough 2 first games.
There's no one I'm really that concerned about. Like, there's really no team that you can give me until maybe, like, the top, you know,
until we get to
top
Duke.
10 to 12 or so
yeah.
That I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to be in the bracket with TCU. You know what I mean?
No.
I don't have anything against the city of Kansas City, so,
no. Good barbecue, apparently. Not.
I don't know. I've never been.
Two seed in that region. Ooh, wouldn't this be something to get to the Final Four? You got Michigan at number two, who can get some revenge for 2014. Yeah.
Okay.
Ole Miss is a 7 seed right there. Ooh, Kansas is your 3 seed.
Now that's a team I would like to play.
I'd like to get some. I'd like to play this Kansas team.
That is a team.
Got some
I'd
more
like
SEC
to see.
Flavor in this too. Got Bama as an 11.
Interesting.
Another team also in here that you are familiar with, Louisville at a 6 seed.
Hmm. What about Oh wait, never mind. They're not.
Now Bleacher Report also put out a thing today, and I don't know if you're going to talk about it, but they had us as the number 1 seed. Do you know who the number 16 was? Think recency.
UMBC.
No.
Florida Gulf Coast.
No. Loyola of Chicago.
No!
Stop.
No!
Oh!
No!
Oh!
Nightmare!
That would be something else.
Whoa! That's a nightmare. We're coming for you, Gene.
Yeah.
We're coming for you again.
Wow.
Hour number one is over here on the overtime. 865-546-8200. Hour number two coming up next. Jesus loves you more than you will know.